Well, welcome to week three of The Greatest Gift. We are in the middle of the Christmas season, and my prayer for you is that you understand what the Christmas season is all about. Yes, it is indeed about celebrating the truth that God loves us and sent his son into the world to pay the price for our sin on the cross, and we celebrate his birth. Yes, absolutely 100%. It is happy birthday, Jesus. It is all of that celebration, but at its core, Christmas really is about forgiveness. The forgiveness that we ultimately have been granted through Jesus. But if you've received that forgiveness, if you've recognized the light bulb's gone off and you've had the revelation of who Jesus is, are you able not just to be able to receive that forgiveness, but can you give it? Can you give it? Because we are called not just to receive forgiveness, but to extend it to others and to release others from the wrongs that they've done us. This is at the core and the heart of Christmas because this is what God has done for us. Are you able to forgive? That's what today's message is about. Let's look at the definition of what forgiveness is, or to forgive. It's to grant pardon for or remission of an offense, a debt, etc., to absolve. That's definition one. Definition two, to give up all claim on account of, to remit a debt, obligation, etc. So to grant a pardon, to absolve, to give up a claim that you have, that's a big one. To grant pardon. Are you able to do this to the people in your life who have wronged you? Are you? Ephesians 4:32 says this. It says, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. This is a big key and theme through the Bible that we must be willing to forgive. If we want forgiveness, it's actually a requirement. And here's what I want us to understand about forgiveness. This isn't a complex process. It's not a complex message, but it is a profound one because it is profoundly difficult at times to forgive. But I want you to understand just a few things, the truth about forgiveness. Number one, it's active, not passive. So forgiveness is not something that passively happens to you. It is something that you actively engage in when it comes to dealing with the people who have hurt you and wronged you. So many times people are like, well, time heals all wounds. Yeah, but a healed wound doesn't equal forgiveness. And if you think that there's passively going to be something that even though you may not feel the pain of that hurt, you may still need to actively forgive and release the person who has wronged you. Because forgiveness isn't passive. It's not something that just happens with time. It's an act of the will. It is active. Forgiveness is a choice. It's not a feeling. See, the feelings come and go. Forgiveness is a choice. So many people will distance themselves in time. They'll go through pain and pain and pain because of what happened. But time has passed and they don't feel the same hurt or wounding or anger. And so they think that they've forgiven them. But unless you have made the choice to forgive, you haven't forgiven. See, forgiveness is a choice, not a feeling. Forgiveness is a command. It's not a suggestion. God doesn't say, I think maybe you should consider forgiving them. We are commanded to forgive. Mark 11:25 says, when you're praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. Matthew 6:14-15, Jesus speaking, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. That is scary. Colossians 3:13 says, make allowance for each other's faults. Forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. It is a command, not a suggestion. Many people at this point say, well, yeah, but you don't know what was done to me. You have no idea what I walked through and what that person did. And you may say, I never want to see them again on the face of the earth. Listen, I understand. Nobody's really going to know what's happened, what's been done to you. But I want to remind you, yes, that forgiveness is a choice. It's not a feeling. It's a command, not a suggestion. But it's also not reconciliation. Just because somebody's hurt you, forgiveness doesn't mean that you have to be reconciled with them. You may not be able to be around the person who did you that wrong because it's unhealthy for you because they are so unhealthy. But what is unbelievably just as unhealthy is if you refuse to forgive them. Don't confuse forgiveness and reconciliation. Those are two very separate things. I want you to understand that we are called to forgive. The greatest act of forgiveness took place on the cross. We're celebrating the birth of Jesus, but I want to take it all the way to the end at the cross where he bore your sins and he forgave you at your worst. You're forgiven. Are you willing to forgive others at their worst? It's not a feeling. It's an act of the will. It's an act of the will where you say, Lord, I forgive them. You may not feel like they deserve it. They probably don't deserve it, but neither did you. I forgive them. I release them. This isn't a suggestion. It's a command. But don't think that it means reconciliation. Listen, sometimes there is reconciliation. It needs to happen. If you're married, I'm praying that you reconcile with your spouse. But it begins with the choice to forgive, knowing that you're called to forgive. That's the first thing about understanding forgiveness. Here's the second thing. You have to know that forgiveness has already impacted us. Romans 3:23 says this, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Here's what you need to know. Everybody's been wronged. Everybody has been wrong. And all sin is relational. All sin's relational. It's interesting to me that we want forgiveness. And I can only speak for me. I can't speak for you, but I bet lots of people are the same way. It's interesting how we can so easily dismiss our own wrongs and sins. Yeah, but I didn't mean that. And we judge ourselves on our motives. Yeah, but I didn't mean that. Oh, I didn't want that to happen. I didn't mean to come out that way. I didn't mean to do that. I was just in a moment. It was very emotional and I was triggered. And we judge ourselves by our motives. Like, yeah, but I didn't want to. But we judge other people by their actions. See, sin's already impacted us in two ways. The wrongs that have been done to us and the wrongs that we've done to others. And it is so easy to weight them one way or the other. If we weight our wrongs more heavily than the wrongs that we've done to others, then we just become self-condemned. Like, we just become self-loathed. We hate ourselves. I can't believe it. And then if we become focused on the wrongs that have done us, we become judgmental towards everybody, because just remember, like, whatever you focus on is magnified. And if you focus on the wrongs that others have done you, now it is very easy to see everybody through the potential of wrongs that they will do you. And it's easy to keep people like this. All sin is relational because the goal of the enemy is to keep us relationally distanced from others and from God. Forgiveness is the thing that brings us back into right relationship with God, and then we can trust him for the people in our life. We should forgive all who hurt us, but he will show us then who we need to reconcile with so that we can be in right relationship. Forgiveness, it's active, not passive. It's already impacted us. Here's the thing. It began with God. Here's what's amazing is, like, God is outside of time. Like, we see things in such a linear fashion. He knows all. Like, he's all-knowing. He's all-powerful, and he's all-present. That means he's everywhere. He can do anything at any time, and he knows anything and all things before and after, like the all of it. And he wants to be in relationship with us so much. He knew the wrongs that you would do, that I would do. And he still loves us. And the closest thing that we can understand to that, and if you're young or you don't have kids, I'm sorry, but you will one day more than likely, or maybe you have somebody who's like an adopted kid, but like the love that you have for your children, they're gonna do wrong, they're gonna do you wrong, but you still love them. And it breaks your heart and you want everything inside of you to just wish that they could understand what that sin does to them, whether it's against you or somebody else, but those severing of ties. See, sin builds a wall between you and God, and sin builds a wall between you and other people. But forgiveness began with God. Where was the first act of forgiveness? It's in the Garden of Eden. In a place of perfection, knowing only good, and yet Adam and Eve were tempted to break the only one command. Don't eat of that tree, honey. Any place else, just don't eat that one. And they ate of that. They were deceived. They thought it would be better than what they had. This is the root of all sin. And it separated them from God. We know this because they were hiding. And God asked them, hey, where are you? God knew the answer to that question. He wanted them to understand the separation that had taken place. What did he do to bring the relationship back into right order? It says he covered them, their nakedness. They didn't know they were naked before. He covered them with the skins of an animal. He shed blood. Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. Why? Because blood represents life. And there has to be a consequence for that sin and a balance to that sin. That there's death. Well, that animal became the death. We look in the Old Testament, that's a sacrifice and atonement. It began with God. But when Jesus came into the world, we're celebrating the birth of this perfect child. God's own son. He loved us so much that he didn't just come in himself. He sent his son. That's the best way that we can understand. It's fully God, but it's his son, because God demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we're at our worst, he gave his son, not him, his son. I love you and I might take a bullet for you, but I can tell you one thing. I'm not letting my kids take a bullet for you, because there's a special love that God has for his children. And he loved you so much that he gave the life of his own son. Because Christmas is a time of celebration, but we need to remember that it's about the forgiveness that took place on the cross. Forgiveness is active. God actively and intentionally surrendered his son for you. That forgiveness has already impacted you. Here's how I know this. Because you have already been forgiven. You've already been forgiven. Jesus died on the cross for the whole world. He died for you. Forgiveness is there, but forgiveness must be received. You have to be willing to receive forgiveness. Have you done that? Have you received the forgiveness of God? Like Romans 3:25 says, for God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin, for your sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. See, there's a difference between forgiveness and reconciliation. Forgiveness has already been, it's already been given to you. Like, you are forgiven. But reconciliation only happens when you recognize what has been sacrificed, the forgiveness that has been extended, and you receive it and you say, I receive. You cannot receive forgiveness unless you recognize you're wrong. There's no reconciliation in a relationship. Like, you can forgive the other person, but until they realize they hurt you and they were wrong and they own it and they say, yeah, you're right, and they choose to come close and come back, there's no reconciliation. God didn't just forgive you. You've already been forgiven, but he's calling you to reconciliation. This is why people can say, well, I prayed that prayer. Like, I know Jesus died for my sin, and I mean it. Are you coming back into, are you in relationship with him? Are you coming back close to him? Man, I love seeing marriages restored. I have a good friend. He and his wife he's been married twice, and so is his wife. They're just married to each other twice. They got married, terrible relationship, divorced. I actually have two sets of friends like that. Got married, terrible relationship, divorce, and remarried. There is a spiritual divorce when sin entered the world. But Jesus paid the price on that cross. We're celebrating his birth, but it's his death. His blood being shed as a covering for our sin. That one time covers everything. He became the sacrifice. And forgiveness is extended to the whole world. But in your world, are you reconciled to him? He's waiting. He's waiting for you. And here's the greatest gift. When you say, Jesus, I see your sacrifice. I see your forgiveness. I receive it. And I want to be reconciled. This is where redemption, this is where life, this is where our real hope come from. I pray that's for you. I pray that's for you. May receive that. And if you may have an understanding of God's forgiveness, but maybe you need to step into reconciliation, he's calling you to him right now. I pray that you turn to him. You receive that forgiveness. You cannot receive forgiveness without recognizing your wrong. You can understand, forgive what it is, but you can't receive it until you recognize your wrong and you step towards them. You ever been in a fight with somebody you love? When it's made right, what do? Every single time. If it's a really healthy relationship, it's a true healthy relationship. When there's an offense, there's some, and the I forgive you, and the other person has to say, I get it. Yes, I was wrong. Thank you. What happens? You hug every time because reconciliation brings you close to the people that you love. And if you were far from God, maybe you've given your life to Christ, but maybe there's a distance there. Be reconciled. He forgave you for that too. Maybe you need to draw near to him. It's interesting to me that the three wise men crossed heaven and earth, took them a long time to draw near to this small child. Wise men still draw near today, and maybe that's you. If that's you, just pray. Say, Dear Jesus, I receive your forgiveness. I want to be right with you. I want to be reconciled. So I turn to you. I come close to you. I want to know you more and walk with you and live with you and be with you. My life's yours. In Jesus' name. Listen, if you mean that, let somebody know. Look, click on the link in the chat beneath, because my heart for you is that you can get connected into relationship with people who are walking with Jesus too. That we can put resources in your hands, on your computer, on your phone that help you grow. Because God's called you not just to him. He's called you to a family that's called to him as well. Man, I pray you have a merry and wonderful Christmas, and I look forward to seeing you really soon. God bless.